IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
Today's Africa Day, and we wanted to check in with Rabbi Moshe Silberhaft. He's the Chief Executive Officer and Rabbi to the African Jewish Congress, just to get a sense of how the Jewish community on the continent is faring. Rabbi Moshe Silberhaft, good morning. Thanks for joining. How are you?
And a good morning to you. Thank God. All well.
Good, good. So, it's an interesting one because we seem to have this ebb and flow of communities in Africa, in various parts. It becomes fashionable and then people move. What is the general trend that you see?
Historically, Jews came to Africa, as we know. They were fleeing from pogroms, etc., pre-First World War, Second World War. And they established themselves, and they were very active and made huge positive contributions to the countries that they established themselves in. With time, independence, when things changed, people felt uneasy. They moved on, as is happening in South Africa as well.
Right.
Today we have a situation where in most of the African countries, there are very small communities from the original Jewish communities, but there's a huge influx of Israelis into Africa.
Ah, so that then changes that dynamic. Just looking at South Africa for a minute, I know that, for example, my grandparents came from Europe and landed up in Pilgrim's Rest. What happened that these communities landed up in the strangest of places? And I know that sort of growing up, we would hear the stories of these country communities, which were actually quite significant in terms of their influence, their involvement in the towns. What led the community to go to those types of places when they arrived in the country?
So we know that when the Jews arrived, many of them arrived here, they had purely the ambition to survive, and they were looking for opportunities. Some had already family members here, but there, many of them were smos. They traveled. They went from town to town, and eventually when they came to a town and they saw an opportunity, that there was an opportunity to open an alchemia and a handelar, a general dealer, or they needed a specific... So they established themselves. And then others came. Then there was obviously the big centers like Kimberley for diamonds and Johannesburg for the gold. So those were unique. The rest were purely... they found opportunities in those towns and they established themselves.
Do we see a similar pattern, for example, in the United States, in the small towns where people might live there, but then the kids grow up and move to greater centers, towns, and communities, and leaving those communities a little bit depleted? Is this a global thing?
That's absolutely a global thing, because in the smaller communities, there are less opportunities for the children. And also, the parents don't want... Many of the parents see what they're doing is not suitable for the children. And so they say to them, you know what, you can't remain in a small town. Go off, study in bigger universities, get a degree, and expand your opportunities elsewhere.
So let's just go back now to what we're seeing in terms of an influx of Israelis. Is that a constant? Is that a constant number? Does that also ebb and flow at different times?
It totally ebb and flows as to the situation of which government comes into power, and it's not political at all.
Mm-hmm.
If not, anybody starts jumping around about Israel and African government. It's purely business opportunities. You get various governments that. And individuals that encourage opportunities and Israelis to come and do business there, others don't. It's not a matter of political, it's just the style, and it's just what's in it for the country and for whoever's getting involved. And they, Zambia, for example, and Zimbabwe, well, let's talk about Zimbabwe for a minute, had a very large Israeli community of over 250. Today there's probably about 40. It was two of the largest companies that were trading there. Have closed.
Right.
And they leave, and they move somewhere else.
And then did I see something about Zambia, the Zambian community as well? I wasn't even aware that there was a community in Lusaka.
Lusaka historically had about 1,000 Jews.
Right.
It's now down to 4 of the original Jews that were there, as you mentioned, from Eastern Europe and Germany and England, etc. But then there was an influx of Israelis. There are about 60 Israelis there now.
Right.
and Chabad have established themselves. And there's still a small Jewish presence in the sense of people that are not comfortable with the Chabad style, and they like to have their own Israeli-style services.
Right.
So it's not a matter of two communities. It's a matter of, at times, the Israelis get together on their own and they celebrate Purim, Lag BaOmer, etc., whatever it is.
The way they want to, yeah.
The way they like prefer rather than going the Chabad style.
Very, very interesting. It must be a fascinating, fascinating experience looking at the different communities across the continent. Thank you, Rabbi Moshe Silberhaft, Chief Executive Officer and Rabbi to the African Jewish Congress, talking to us this Africa Day.